one sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
From Corpus Christi, Texas, it's time for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away, for he takes the gloom.
And now for a continuation of yesterday's message, here is Brother Roloff.
For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
I said K-N-O-W, no. There must come a place in your life before you'll ever grow in grace to where you can say, well, I know that I'm saved. I don't understand all about the new birth and the virgin birth, but I just know this. I was blind, and now I see. I know I've got a no-so salvation. Folks, everybody can have that. I don't care what Mr. Herbert W. says. Everybody can know that you're saved by the grace of God. Doesn't make any difference what any religious man says. The Bible said there's a way for us to know. He said these are written that you may know. And if the Bible is written that I might know, I'm going to know it. And I don't believe you can show it till you know it. Remember the old song? You ask me how I know that Jesus saved me. How I know that all my sins are as white as snow. You ask me how I know that he forgave me. Now listen, I'll be glad to tell you how I know I was there when it happened, and I ought to know. His spirit burning in me set this old heart aglow. So I praise the Lord today, for he washed my sins away. I was there, right there when it happened. And I ought to know. God's people can know they're saved. Don't you let the devil take away a no-so experience if you intend to be a mature and a growing and a wonderful overcoming Christian. There must come the word K-N. O-W. And then there needs to be another no. We'll leave off the K. And this is the place where we're bogging down in our churches today. After you once know, you're to be able to say no to the devil. When you K-N-O-W, for the first time in your life, you'll be able to say N-O or no to the devil. I don't have to go your route anymore. I sinned because I was helpless. I was a sinaholic. Wasn't anything else I could do. I was lost and undone. The devil was my daddy. The works of my daddy I had to do. I was shut up to sin. But, old smutty face, come on. I'm going to tell you N-O right now. By the grace of God, and if you don't like it, I'm going to throw this book at you. Dear friends, that's the only authority we've got against the devil right here. Now, you can brag about it. I hear people say, well, you know, I believe a man make up his mind, lick the devil. I believe all you've got to do is just make up your mind. Let me tell you something. I had to get me a brand new mind. My old dirty mind, I could make it up just like making up a dirty bed, but I needed some clean linens. One day when Jesus came in, he renewed my mind by the Holy Ghost. That's it. By the renewing, of the Holy Ghost. And dear friends, if your mind belongs to the devil, you won't do anything but think like the devil. That's the reason we've got so many reprobate minds in this country, too. It's because the devil has charge of them. The devil has charge of them. That's reading a lot of people reading a lot of filth today. They're reading because they got a reprobate mind. I mean, their mind goes everywhere. Can you imagine the filth that's coming off the press today? Can you imagine? You go to the hospital. I've gone to the hospital room time and time again, and I've never seen such filth being read by dying sick patients right there in the hospital. Not a Bible in sight! Went into a little girl's room, 17 years of age. I mean, in her own bedroom, in her home, and there wasn't one place on the wall but what was lined with the harlot's pictures of Hollywood. And she was dying. I preached her funeral. Wasn't that some comfort for a little old girl? Every time she opened those dying eyes, she'd see that bunch of old, sorry, filthy, ungodly outfits out of Hollywood. That's all. That's what she died with. She died in the same room with that whole filthy bunch. Yet her mother, a teacher in a Baptist Sunday school, dad in the... But I tell you what, since then, many years since then, they've all drifted away from God. Every one of them. I tell you, it's going to take something besides Hollywood to hold you out and to make you stand before this thing's over. Amen. Thy word, that's right, have I hid in my heart. There must come. You know, one of the great things about Moses was the little word refuse. He said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Reason why he refused. Not in order to please Jesus. I mean, that wasn't it. Not in order to be right with the Lord. Not in order to be God's servant. Listen, the Bible said he endured because he saw him who was invisible. And when a man gets right with the Lord, then he'll refuse the devil and sin. He's got something so much better.
Amen.
Why, let me say again. I don't often say this, but I must say it. See, I could smoke cigarettes tonight, and it wouldn't take my salvation away from me. But I tell you what I do. I believe I'd need to lose the joy of it. I'd lose my testimony. I'd have a hard time preaching again, wouldn't I? Come up smelling like a tobacco factory. I could never say praise God for victory again. I could never say it's God's will for us to be sanctified and separated. And if I did, I'd say, well, I'm out of the will of God. But he wouldn't take my salvation away from me. Because that's in his hands. Wouldn't surprise me if he'd whack me off. I mean, just prune me plumb off. Bible said every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And then time I started smoking cigarettes and cussing and raising Cain, like I used to when I was over on the devil's side, I believe the Lord would say, well, son, I just, before you ruin everything, I'll just get you out of there.
Amen.
And I'd thank him for it when I got home. I said, Lord, I'm glad you didn't let me tear down anymore and I tore down before I got out of there. Christians, it's a very serious thing. See, being saved doesn't end anything, it just begins everything. I mean, we just started out now. I mean, when we got born again, we just on our way now. Yes, sir. He said, grow in grace. Be able to say no. You know one of the great things about Daniel? The Bible said he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. He lived a not life. Most of us are afraid to not, you know. We're just afraid to say no. Well, it'd make me so different. Well, that's what the Bible said you're supposed to be if you get saved. I don't know why you'd be so afraid of joy and fullness of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God when that's just the joy that God wants to give you. The joy of the Lord shall be your strength. And so, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself by eating the king's meat and drinking the king's wine. Joseph refused. The Bible said he refused. Potiphar's wife made some silly eyes at him and some love gestures that really weren't love. It's lust gestures. I get tired a lot of these people say, well, I guess I just fell in love with somebody else. You mean you fell in lust? Won't you be honest about it? Some old goat of a businessman, you know. After his wife has him about three or four or five or half a dozen children, see. First thing you know, you hear him say, I just fell in love with my secretary. You're lying. You fell in lust with her.
Amen.
You wouldn't, listen, you wouldn't swap off the natural gray on your wife's hair because you put it there. for that dyed wig that gal's wearing. You're not kidding anybody. You're just an old blind goat. That's what you are. And I apologize to any billy goat on earth for saying that. Sin! Who do you think you are anyhow? God's got his eye on you all the time. You're not going to put up with that. There must come the word no. And this generation has absolutely forgotten how to say no to sin. I mean, just about everything goes now. It doesn't make any difference if it's in the living room, the backyard, the front yard. I mean, the Lord's Day desecration. Brother Johnny's telling me the other Sunday somebody came up and said, Brother Johnny, they're fishing down at the lake on Sunday. Brother John said, oh, that's all right. No, he didn't either. And I tell you, Brother John, he beat it down to the fishing hole. And he didn't have a fishing pole either. And he walked up and he said, what do you all mean fishing down here? Well, they said, we fish every Sunday. But he said, you don't fish here. He said, this lake not even made for people like y'all. He's pretty blunt, wasn't he? They looked at him like, well, what kind of nut is this fellow, see? I mean, but that's when I started preaching, everybody felt like that. I mean, even heathens felt like that. I mean, there wasn't an infidel in our community. We had one that even dare to walk by a lake hoping to fish on Sunday. I mean, he had enough of the fear of God. He's afraid he'd fall in and drown and lightning would strike him. But now then, it's just, that's where we go for our recreation. That's the reason we bought our camper, you know. Oh, I take my family out and we just have sweet recreation. That's not so. You come home fussing, every one of you fussing each one of you. And you're all out of sorts with everybody and tired out, nervous. And there are more heart attacks had on Sunday around the lakes than any place I know of. But you see, We've failed to say no. I still believe the Lord's Day ought to be the Lord's Day. I believe everything ought to close down on Sunday. Oh, yes, the way my mom and daddy taught me, and they didn't even get to go off to college. I ought to have as much sense as they had. I've been schooled 19 years of my life. My daddy said, son, don't you pick up that air gun. Now, if y'all want to go in there in the front room and sang old Rugged Cross, you can. That's exciting, wasn't it? But that's where we went, buddy. My daddy didn't get up on Sunday morning and say, well, let's put it to a vote to see if we go to Sunday school, sure. Well, man, the election's over on Saturday night with him. And it wasn't but one vote cast, and he cast it. That's right. I mean, he said, you boys, shine your shoes. Get your clothes ready. Why, dear friend, those were back in days when we didn't even have any juvenile delinquency. That's when Papa had charge. I mean, he was the potentate. And now then, bunch of little old sissy men. Women wearing trousers. Yeah. Women, some of the men got hair like a woman. Effeminate bunch of sissies. Tell us, why don't we grow up? And go back home and tell the whole family what it's all about. God will bless us. We got to come to the word N-O if we're going to expect God to bless us and pour out His Spirit upon us. All right, there's some more words. G-L-O-W, glow. How much does your light shine? Some dear old brother got loose here in the altar. Evidently, I didn't preach quite enough to... maybe I preached enough to inspire him a little bit, you know. He's about 85 years old. He had a hard time behaving himself, you know, and he said, don't let your light just shine in here. said, shine when you get out of here. I mean, he had a bit of preaching to do. Yeah. I see it. Where's the glow? Oh, a lot of times I noticed in a lot of these modern churches today, they call the evening service the Vespers or the afterglow with no glow to it. I tell you, we got to have a before glow before we have much afterglow. Do you know that? I tell you, you can have the afterglow, just give me that before glow, and I'll after all right. Oh, listen. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. But that's not all. I believe there must come a time in your life where you recognize your foe, F-O-E. I mean, we've got to recognize. I know the devil's dead. Everybody said the devil's dead. But I'm still like the man. If the devil's dead, who's doing all the devil meant? Folks, do you have a real foe? You can't be a good soldier without having a real foe. I'd say this. If I were to go to the battlefield, I believe that communism would make a pretty good foe for me. Because they hate God so much. And I believe if I thought I was fighting communism, and yet I realized there's only one way to defeat communism, and that's with an old-fashioned gospel revival that'll get people saved. And I can prove it right here in this house. I'd like for some Christian to stand right now, and you can silence my voice, if you're willing to swap what you've got in Christ for what communism has to offer. In communism, I'd like for you to stand to your feet right now. I'd like for somebody in here to say, I'd rather have communism than Christ. I've had Christ for the last 20 or 30 years, and he's supplied all my needs, but I'm ready to swap him off tonight. I've never been able to pull a swap like that yet. Fact is, I've even asked people in revival campaigns at the close of an old-fashioned tent campaign. We used to have Sunday evening from 6 until 7:30 just testifying. Let the converts say what God had done for them. And oh, it's a sweet and blessed time. And I felt impressed a time or two to say, now listen, I feel like we ought to be fair even to the devil. And all of these that have spoken have been God's children. How sweet and how precious. This revival has been such a blessing to my own soul. And to hear these newborn babes as they've testified of the new life in Christ and the joy and the peace and the wives who've said, my husband's different. And little children said, our home is different. I said, I wonder if the devil's got any of his kids here tonight and they'd like to brag on their daddy. Get up! Yeah. I've never gotten one of them up yet. And I said at the close of that kind of a meeting, I'd hate to be the devil. Hadn't got a kid to testify for him. Not a one. Every child he's got's ashamed of him. Can you imagine that? And yet, look at the children he's got. How blind can people be in serving the devil? There must be a real foe. And then there are two others, and I share them with you briefly. Jill, go. Have you gone? Have you done what the Lord told you to do? Have you obeyed the Lord in the matter of going to tell the sweet story? You may not go as far as some, but everybody could go some piece. You could go around the corner. Jesus said, go into all the world. You can't go in everybody's world, but you can go in your world. I wrote the workers' letter to all of our workers. And I said, we must have a real revival of personal witnessing. And I'm talking to myself. I mean, passing out little salvation Bibles, testifying to people, urging them everywhere we go to give their hearts to Christ. Not just a matter of going in the pulpit, making radio messages and sending them out, but a matter of the personal, heart-to-heart, door-to-door contact of people. I want to go back home, and I've got some neighbors that I need to win to Christ. Dark the sin that soiled man's nature, long the distance that he failed, far removed from hope and heaven, near to deep despair and hell. But there was a fountain opened, and the blood of God's own Son purifies the soul and reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Conscious of that deep pollution, sinners wander on out in the night, even though the shepherd's calling, still they fear to face the light. This the tender consolation that should melt that old heart of stone. This sweet balm of Gilead reaches deeper than the stain has gone. All unworthy we who wandered, and our eyes are wet with tears as we think of the love that sought us through the dreary wasted years. Yet we'll walk the holy highway for the pure, the blood-washed alone, knowing Calvary's fountain reaches deeper than the stain has gone. I like this stanza, this great old hymn. When with holy throngs we're standing in the presence of the great King, and our souls are lost in wonder as the white-robed choirs shall sing, then we're going to praise the name of Jesus with the millions all around the throne. Praise Him for the blood that reached us deeper than the stain had ever gone. Oh, praise the Lord for His great salvation. God still lives upon the throne, and I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone. The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.